Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Ritman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix-It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. And I hope it'll be interesting. We're going to talk about a variety of things. We're going to talk about the appraisal process. We're going to talk about what the market looks like, and just talk about a variety of things today that I think I get a lot of questions every day. Obviously, I talk to people every day about their mortgages, and these are things that come up. So I want to make sure that I help answer those questions. And if I'm getting asked those, I'm assuming that most people that are listening also have the same questions. So let's get started with the appraisal and what is an appraisal. A lot of times people misunderstand what an appraisal is. And the basics of an appraisal, the appraiser determines the value of your property. It's not a home inspection. A home inspection is inspecting the quality of the home or the mechanicals of the home, not really the quality, the mechanicals of the home. But an appraiser, it's not that they don't look at the house as far as, you know, what the quality of the home is, but they're looking at the house to compare it with the other homes in your neighborhood. In most neighborhoods, the homes are pretty comparable in the quality and the fit and finish of the home. So they're making sure it is. And then they have to make sure of size, and they have to make sure of, the house and what it has available, make sure there's a basement. If there's supposed to be a basement, is it a three-car garage? That's why they come into the house. Make sure what the kitchen is like, all those type of things. They normally, when they come in, they're going to come in, they're going to measure the home. They're going to, very quickly, they take some pictures because they have to have record of that. If we have an appraisal, they're going to do that. And then they're going to do a lot behind the scenes. So when they do appraise your property, one of the things that I'll get some complaints about sometimes, hasn't happened in a while, but it's the person doesn't stay in the house very long. They were only here 5 minutes. Well, actually, they're just checking out the house, taking the pictures, making sure that all the rooms are there. If there's a room over the garage, they need to know that. If the basement's finished, they need to know that, because that matters in an appraisal. So they're looking at the house to determine, based on this house, how it compares to the rest of the houses in the neighborhood that have sold. And then they're going to, either before or after, they're going to have pulled up all the homes in the neighborhood that have sold recently. Now, we prefer them, as a lender, we want them to be within the last year. The newer, the better. So if you have four homes in your neighborhood that sold in the last month and have closed, not just sold, but it can't be pending, it has to be sold and closed. So we want them to use those, and the closer they are to your house, the more similar they are to your home, the better that comp is, and the more it will be weighed in on the appraisal. So they're going to obviously they can't walk through those homes, so they're going to look at if they were on the MLS, they're going to look at those when they were listed. They're going to look at the pictures, and they're going to try to determine, how it compares to your house. And then they're going to look at what price it sold at. They're going to look at what concessions were given. And when I say concessions, what I'm talking about is, let's say you sell your house and you give the buyer, $4,000 to pay for closing costs and prepaid items. Well, if you do that, that's going to show up, and that actually is going to, they'll take that off the price of the home, because that wasn't, they don't look at that as if you didn't give the same concession. If you gave the same concession, they won't. But that will affect your appraisal. They're also going to look, at those pictures. They're going to know how many rooms are in that house based on what the listing said, and compare it with yours, and compare, the lot, and compare where it's situated. They're going to compare all of those homes in that area, and they're going to try to stay in the same area and as close to your home as they possibly can. In this market, that for most people, that's pretty easy. Now, if you're out in the country, they have to go a little farther. That's normal. Or if for some reason your neighborhood doesn't have a lot of sales in it, which some neighborhoods just there aren't a lot of houses, or the houses just don't turn over, then they're going to have to go outside. It's a little more difficult for them, but then they're going to have to go outside that area to come up with a value. Now, once they've done all that, they've gone to the house, they've looked through everything, they've taken their pictures, they've made their measurements, they've walked through the house, they're going to get back to their office, and they're going to put everything into their computer system, their appraisal system. And in that system, it's going to help them come up with a value. Now, ultimately, they decide the value, but they go to the first, no, appraiser has to be certified, they have to be trained, they have to have gone through classes and taken tests, and then they have to get a license, and they have to have, you know, their insurance, and then they have to pass a lender's scrutiny to make sure that they want to use them, because ultimately the lender's responsible or are going to be on the hook for the house if it came back, and every lender wants to know that the value is there. And as they do that, then they're, all that comes in. They put that in the system, they come up with it, and they come up with a value. And when you look at that value, you're going to look, you look at an appraisal and you'll see that there's, they subtract and they add based on differences in the house. So maybe your house has a screen porch, the house next door doesn't. They may add, they're going to add a dollar amount for the screen porch compared to the house that sold. So you're going to get credit for that. But let's say that had a 3-car garage and you have a 2-car garage, then you're going to get a deduction for that. And it's an estimate of value, what they think the value of that 3-car garage was, or what that screen porch was. Or let's say you have a basement, somebody else doesn't have a basement. If they don't have any homes with basements, then they might have to, you know, use a home without a basement, but they're going to add for that basement being there. Now, in a case of a basement, it's such a big item, they will try not to use that as a comp if there's other comps available, because they'd rather use comps with basements. Same as with, you know, if there's a big difference in square footage or big difference in rooms, number of bedrooms, that kind of thing, they will try to then find other comps to use, because those aren't considered good comps. And, you know, sometimes you'll get in a neighborhood where there's a variety of pricing in the neighborhood. And maybe your house is a 300, you know, your neighborhood's 350 to 500,000. There's another part of the neighborhood that's 500,000 to 800,000. They're not going to go to the 800, that 500 to $800,000 neighborhood, or unless there just aren't comps. They're going to try to stay out of that neighborhood because they aren't comparable homes. Same as if the neighborhood, you know, there was third neighborhood and it was 150 to 300. They don't want to go to that neighborhood because they aren't comparable homes. They will try desperately not to do that. If they have no choice, then they may have to, and then they'll have a lot more adjustments on the values. But that is something that an appraiser will have to do. And it's a difficult thing for a lender today, because we don't have any way to, we aren't allowed to talk to an appraiser. So if appraiser does something, there's no way we can find out exactly. We can ask, it take a while. I can ask through our appraisal team, and they can get with the appraiser, and we might get an answer, we might not. So it is a difficult thing. So when the appraiser goes out and they appraise the property, it's not set in stone, but it's one of those things. It's a difficulty. Now, that sometimes there's material things that are wrong. Maybe they missed a bedroom. Maybe they missed a room in the house. Maybe they didn't put down the right square footage, something like that. Those things we can work on to help get an improvement in the value of the property. But another thing that's happening in today's world, especially on refinances, straight refinances where you're not adding a bunch of cash out, something like that, we're getting what's called an appraisal waiver, which means we don't have to have the house appraised. We put in a value, the value is accepted, and no appraisal's needed. So if you're somebody who's looking at refinancing and you just want to refinance what you owe on the property, basically you don't want to add any more than $2,000 in cash to you after you close, when you close, then there's a high likelihood, depending on what you think the value is in that area, we're going to get an appraisal waiver. Right now, I don't know the exact statistics, but it seems to me we're getting about 75 to 80% of that type of financing we're getting appraisal waivers on. We don't even have to have an appraisal. So the appraiser doesn't come into the house. There is no appraisal. You don't pay for an appraisal. We don't have an appraisal. So that can be a huge benefit, and something where if you're thinking, I don't want somebody in my house, we know that pretty quickly in the process. basically right after you take application, we have credit, we can run the system, and it will tell us if we get an appraisal waiver. And then, if that was really critical to you, you'd know pretty much right up front if there was going to be an appraisal waiver. And then sometimes we'll get not a full appraisal waiver, but all we have to do is have what's called a drive-by appraisal or a desktop appraisal. And again, that means the appraiser's not coming into your house. And if they aren't coming into your house, you don't have to worry about, with COVID, a lot of people don't want people visiting their house. The appraiser wouldn't be in the house. But we can talk about that. If you want to talk about that, we can certainly do that. Just go on to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And we can and email me. All my contact information is there. You can call me, text me, email me. You can fill out the contact information on the website and let me know what you're looking for, and I will get back with you. Coming up, we're going to talk about fixed rates versus the ARM rates.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me today. I truly appreciate it. In this section, we're going to talk about a variety of things. First, I'd like to talk about how long does it take to finance a home in this current environment? And it does depend on whether it's a purchase or a refinance. On a purchase, we're going to basically close when you tell us it needs to close. So the purchase agreement's going to come back. I mean, you have to give us enough time to process the mortgage, but understand that the mortgage business, the mortgage refinances and purchases are at an all-time high. Everybody is just unbelievably busy. Appraisers are swamped. Our underwriters are swamped. Our processors are swamped. Our title companies are swamped. Everybody is swamped. Why? Because rates are at historic lows, and there are many, 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 many people refinancing and purchasing homes today. So it's really critical, if you're purchasing a home, you give us enough time to process and close that loan. Most people give us 30 days and we're closing our loans in 30 days. If you give us 30 days and you get everything to us in a timely fashion, as long as the appraiser is at a reasonable time, which I haven't had a problem with, we're going to close the home in 30 days. On a refinance, though, you're looking at much more time than that. And the reason is because we rush those purchases through because there's drop dead dates. We couldn't possibly do every loan we have in that time frame. So we're looking more in the 55-60 day range right now for processing and closing on a refinance mortgage. Again, it does depend on how quickly somebody gets us all of our documentation and signs everything. So we're basically, the bottom line is that you're looking at, on a purchase, you're looking at about 30 days or less, a little less, not a lot. And on a refinance, most of those are taking somewhere in the 55 to 60 day range. So just be prepared for that. It's not a big deal as long as you know what's going to happen. Just know that there's a big piece of time that things are just sitting, because reality is that we just don't have anybody. We're hiring like crazy. Everybody's trying to hire, and there's nobody out there. It's hard to find people because everybody's busy. So it just takes a little bit extra time. Just if you do finance, just be patient and it'll get through. And like I said, we're 55 to 30 days on a purchase or refinance, and 25, 30 days on a purchase.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
I like this question. This question came from Val and John R. They called me and they wanted to refinance. And they aren't the only ones. I get this question, actually it's kind of funny, quite a lot right now. They want to refinance, but they're remodeling their second bath and wondering if that would be a problem. So their second bath, in this case, their second bath, basically the tub was ripped out. And they were putting in a shower where the tub was. And they wanted to know, is this going to be a problem? And the reality is it could be a problem. It may or may not be a problem. It can be a problem with an appraisal. So if appraisal is required, yes, it could be a problem. But then it depends on how far along your bath is going to be, or what project you have. So let's say we have an appraisal. Let's say in this case, the drywall's not in, things like that. Then it's going to be a problem because the appraiser can't appraise the property with that not in there. It's considered non-livable, even though you can live there. It's still considered non-livable in a mortgage sense, and they won't Freddie and Fannie under conventional or FHA VA, they won't finance a home in that condition. So it has to be much farther along. In this case, the shower would have to be in, you know, everything would basically have to be done, water running. Wouldn't necessarily have to be painted. That's not really going to hurt. Flooring would have to be in if it's a bath or kitchen. The cabinets, the tops, all that stuff has to be in there and done. So it does depend. So again, probably the biggest thing, if you're working on you're having work done on the home or you're doing the work on the home and you want to refinance because rates are ridiculously low, you'd want to contact a lender. Contact me again at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Hardworkingmortgageguy.com. My phone numbers, my emails, my address, everything's there. You can call me, text me. You can fill out the contact information. But the key on this is let us know that that's the situation. It's a shock if we have an appraiser go in and all of a sudden there's an issue there. There's ways that we, you know, hold off on the appraisal till that's done, or maybe it's going to be too long. We just hold off on doing the refinance. So we just want to understand where we're at on that project so that we can, you know, go down the correct path so that you can refinance the home, get the rate, but we need to know so we there's no surprises. And it's really not that difficult. We just need to know so we can kind of walk down that path together and make sure no surprises so we can get it all closed in a timely fashion. Now let's also talk about the rates. And let's talk about fixed rate versus an ARM rate. You know, rates are at all-time lows, so the interest rates are extremely low. And for a long time, you know, back in January, February, our ARM rates were really, really good. The fixed rates were very good also, but the ARM rates were better than the fixed. And then the fixed rates went up, and they weren't better than the fixed. So with the ARMs going up, they weren't better than the fixed. And so if that's the case, obviously you'd want to stay with a fixed rate. Now, I have had people who've tried to convince, I've heard of loan officers who've tried to convince people that they should go with an ARM with a higher rate. I don't know how you could convince somebody to do that. I would never try, but it doesn't make any sense to me that would be the case. If everything else is equal, the fixed rate and the ARM, if they're the same rate, I'd go with the fixed. But if the ARM rate is lower, there can be reasons to go with an ARM. A lot of people will say, oh, I don't want an ARM. Nope, my dad told me never go with an ARM. Well, you know what? That can make sense in the right situations, but there is no perfect mortgage and there is no, you know, imperfect mortgage. It doesn't work for anybody. In the right situations, these mortgages can work. So let's talk about why would an ARM work over a fixed rate? So let's say you say, I'm going to be in my house. We know our plan, we're going to be out of our house in 5 years. And let's say the ARM rate, the 7-1 ARM rate, is 0.5% lower than the 30-year fixed rate. So you're only going to be there 5 years. And so how long is the rate? If you're only there 5 years, how long is the rate actually fixed? 5 years, because you move out, the loan's gone. If you have a 7-year ARM and it's half a percent lower, that would be your better option. If you feel very confident that you're going to be out of the home. And even then, if you're not, let's say it's 5 years, what if you're 6 years? Well, you still have a year extra. What if it's 7? You go 2 years over your time. Still, that 7-1 ARM can be the better option. But I'm not saying that it always is the best option. It's one of those things we have to walk through the process. We have to talk about what your goals, what your objective is, why you're refinancing, how long you're going to be in the house, how confident you're going to, that's how long you're going to be there before we would want to go in an ARM. Right now, the vast majority of people are going on fixed rates because rates are so low, they feel like they're going to stay in their houses a long time. If you're going to be in the house, you know, 10 years, I can run the analysis and very little, you know, we don't know what the ARM is going to be, but most of the time you're going to be better off with a fixed rate at that point. So we want to look at that, want to run those numbers and make sure you're getting the right mortgage and saving the most amount of money you can. And so, like I said, a 7-1 ARM, 5-1 ARM, 10-1 ARM, just depends on what the rates are. Those can be great options compared to a fixed rate. Now, along with that, understand fixed rates and ARMs are at record lows. These are the lowest rates we've seen ever. And what does that mean? That means that they're going to give you, for the same amount of money, they're going to give you the lowest payment ever. And it means that you might be able to go from a 30-year you've had for 5 or 6 years to a 15-year, drop your interest rate, depending on what it is. Maybe you can drop it a full percent or percent and a half or maybe 2%. You can drop sometimes significant numbers. You can drop it. Big loans, you can save. I've seen people who save $600, $700, $800 a month on their mortgage payment, or saved, as I've said before, saved, you know, tens of thousands to over $100,000 over 15 years. So there can be some huge savings available by refinancing. Just depends, again, how long you're going to be in the house. If you're going to be in the house 3 years, then we really have to look at it and make sure it makes sense. We might structure the loan a little bit differently to make the most sense for you, to save you the most amount of money. That's what is the objective. The objective is to make sure we make this the best option for you and the best numbers for you. So when you're looking at that, when you're looking at the refinance, call me, email me. Best thing, get online, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. We'll talk about it. You can call me from there. I've got all my contact information, and we can talk about your exact situation. We can walk through your situation. We can do what we'll figure out what's going to be the very best option and the best way to save you money, and how what's going to be what's best. And what I do is I put together an analysis, and this analysis many times will have three or four different options of refinancing compared to your current mortgage, and it will compare it over time, and I can maneuver the amount of time. Most of the time I do a 5-year comparison and a 15-year comparison. But let's say you said you're going to be in the home for 3 years, or you think 3 years, but it may be 5 years. Well, we might want to do a 3-year comparison and a 5-year comparison. But you want to look at that. So you want to see, okay, how much money can I save in 3 years? Let's say you look at it and it says, you know, hey, you can save $500. Well, my opinion would be don't refinance. It would make no sense. It's not enough money to save. But let's say in 3 years, it's $4,000. Well, that's a pretty big savings in 4 years, depending on the loan amount. And additionally, you say, well, most people tell me they're 3 years, but it may be longer. Or they tell me they're going to be there 10 years. They don't really, most people don't, if you're like most people, we don't actually know how long we're going to be in our house. Some of us do, or at least have a pretty good idea, but most of us aren't 100% sure how long we'll actually be in the home. But we want to look at that though, because it matters. And we want to understand what your objective is. And let's say you want to sell the home in 3 years, but let's say you need to do some upgrades to the house. You want to make it more sellable, and you want to enjoy the house with the upgrades. You want to upgrade the kitchen. You want to upgrade the countertops. You want to upgrade a bath. You want to put a screen porch on. You want to add a third car garage. Whatever it happens to be, we have options for that. A lot of people have a tremendous amount of equity today. Our homes have appreciated at a very, very good pace and are continuing to appreciate at a good pace, which means you have more equity. If you have the equity, we can possibly do a refinance and get you the cash so that you can do those upgrades and live in the house with the improvements for a while before you decide to sell, and make it a lot more enjoyable for you. Additionally, because rates are so low, depending on what your rate is, you may be able to keep the payment the same, lower the payment, or maybe shorten the term and keep it near the same. So you built equity by improving the house. You're building equity by it increasing, and then you build equity by paying the loan down. So all those things can come in and really make it a great option if you want to do that. Now, additionally, let's say you do want to do that. You don't have the equity to fix the house up. We have options for that also. We have renovation loans. So if you have a home that needs to be, and this goes for whether you're purchasing or refinancing, I should mention that. So I'm talking about refinance, but you could do this on a purchase. You could find a house that you love the house, but you want a new kitchen in it, or you want a new kitchen and a bath, or you want to add a screen porch. Well, you can do that in our renovation loan, and it's a great option in which to do that. So you can add those things, and what happens is we appraise the property as it will be with the improvements. So the appraisal's done with the improvements. So you have to have the improvements. We have to know what they are. We have the appraisal done with the improvements. You close on the house, Hopefully you can live in the house while they do the improvements. Sometimes you have to wait and have them do the improvements, and then you can move in. But that is a great way to get a house, especially in this market. This market is very, very tough and tight for purchases. There's just not a lot of homes on the market, and a lot of the homes that have sat a little bit have work that could be done to improve them, to make them, to upgrade them to what most people want. And if you have some vision, that's a great way to do it. We can do it with a renovation loan, but again, we can also do a renovation loan on a refinance, and that is another option and a great way to do it. So if you have those type of things, we can talk about, let's see if you have the equity. If you don't have the equity, then we can look at more of a renovation loan and make it work as a renovation loan and get you into the house, you know, or make your house, improve your house so that it's more enjoyable to live in. And, you know, I can tell you, we just put a screen porch on the back of our home, and it is amazing how much we use that space. You know, it was one of those things we've wanted to do. We put it off. But when you're kind of stuck in your house for a while, you're looking for more spaces. And we thought, you know what, we'll put a screen porch on, and it's become our go-to room. And it's was worth every penny. And I'm somewhat sorry I put it off for so long, because we lost a lot of enjoyment we could have had from that screen porch. And I think that's important for everybody to think about, is that if you want to make these improvements, they can be done. We can help you finance those improvements, either with the equity out of, you know, just by doing a cash out equity, or by doing a renovation loan and getting that home so it's a much more enjoyable. You can use the space better. And especially now where we're stuck in this, in our houses so much more, you know, why not improve it and make it more enjoyable to live in with record low rate? Now, I will tell you, the renovation rates are a little higher than the other rates, but they're still extremely low. And you can do that. You can fix it all up, and we can, 6 months later, we can refinance it to a lower rate if rates are lower. And the outlook for rates right now is that rates are going to be lower. The way that the market works is the Federal Reserve is buying right now $22 billion mortgage-backed securities, and buying those mortgage-backed securities is what has lowered the interest rates and what has kept the interest rates where they are. They're not moving hardly at all. They're moving slowly down a little bit. Could move faster depending on what other, you know, what else happens in the environment that we're in. But when you're in a recession and you have the Feds putting in that money, mortgage rates go low and they stay low. So it's one of those things where if that's the situation that you're in and you want to look at remodeling and making your house much more enjoyable, it is definitely a great option to look at. And again, the best way to get a hold of me is go online, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. It's got my phone numbers. It's got my email address. I'm Rick Ritma. Just give me a call on that. Of course, my name's all over the website too. And call me, email me, use the contact me information, put that in there, and let me know what you're looking to accomplish. And I'll do my very best to get back with you as quickly as I possibly can and kind of walk through what can be done. Do please understand that we are extremely busy. So it does take me a little longer sometimes to get back than I would like. I'm normally very, very quick at getting back, but once in a while, it just takes me much longer. Normally, I get back with you within hours. Almost always, I get back with you the same day. If it takes more than a day, either I'm just swamped and I just can't get to it yet, or I didn't receive the information, or I've overlooked it or missed it or something like that. So if that happens, just recontact me, wake me up, and I will get back to you as quick as I can again. I really believe that there's so much to be saved out there. So many people out there who need to look at refinancing their home or buying a home. It's just such a great time for people. First-time home buyers, there's this huge market right now. So please contact me, Hardworking Mortgage Guy, and we'll walk you through it and help you, you know, get set up to either buy your home or walk you through a refinance. Please join me next Saturday at 3:30 as we talk about how to buy real estate as an investment. Thanks for joining me today, and have a fantastic weekend.